Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Welcome to Scanning the Frequencies.
Hello. Welcome to Scanning the Frequencies. Hi, Cousin Fabian. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing just right. And I guess, I mean, it's cold. Is it cold by you?
Yes,
where are you
it's
at?
Cold.
All right. You're okay.
I'm down here at the bottom of I-81,
okay.
Interstate 81, Tennessee, fixing to hit I-40.
Okay.
So,
no Florida.
And it's 30 degrees. Yeah.
It's cold.
Yeah.
It's cold. So tonight's topic, you want to start discussing it right away or what? Oh, and people can call in if they'd like to call in. It's 6. Oh, well, that's my number.
Yeah, call Lisa, everybody. Telephone bomber.
Right. It's 347-202-0316. And we'll repeat that throughout the night in case anybody wants to call in and talk. Okay,
yeah,
but we're
going to
talk
absolutely.
About near-death experiences and
yeah.
Things you've heard. I mean, what do you know about that? I mean, did you ever have anything close to that happen
oh,
to you?
Oh, no. No, I haven't had anything like that. But I've known people, family and friends that have all said pretty much the same thing, that they don't – it's like you go to sleep and then you wake up and then everything around you is, like, familiar – and you feel like you're somewhere that you've been, and then all of a sudden you start, it feels like you're coming right back through like this tunnel kind of thing. Everybody always talks about the tunnel and talking about how they can see, you know, they
yes.
look down
yes.
and like looking down and see doctors around them. And also some of my friends, 3 or 4 of them actually have said that they survived car accidents, and motorcycle wreck was one of them. And they
right.
all claimed that they had looked down and they saw themselves at the scene. And then all of a sudden, it's like they wake up and it's like they remember some of it. But it's, you know, like every so often it starts going away and then it comes back and they dream about it and then it comes back. And that's like about 8 people. Mm-hmm. Personally, I've never had to deal with it or have it. Praise
no.
the Lord. But
thank God.
The people that I've ever talked to about it, and of course some people have come to me that are just friends and they're like, well, what, like you just asked, what's your experience? I've never had one, but they will say, well, it's sort of like you feel like you're somewhere that you belong, but then all of a sudden you're like, you start coming back and it's like all of it was like this dream, and then in whatever your condition is when you come back. Some of them have told me they wish that they had just left them, you know, because
know.
They're in so much
yep.
pain when they come back. And I won't use names, but we'll say a guy named Larry. Back
right.
in 1979, when I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
he was a next door neighbor, and he was the brother of the boy I went to school with, and he had gotten in a motorcycle wreck.
Right.
And I remember that my sister, she'd gotten a Ouija board, and he was really fascinated by all that. And
right.
so he came over to the house, and they were doing the whole Ouija board thing and everything. Because
mm-hmm.
he
like
kept saying
back
that.
Like everything back in 79.
Yeah.
Like all
the
kids back in 79, do you guys?
Well, I'm not sure about all of them. I didn't know anyone else that done it. That's the Bible Belt, a little different. But,
oh, well, yeah, that's different than you.
My sister cut against the grain pretty much on every aspect of her life. But to make a long story short, he had told him, my sister's like, well, why don't you come on over and let's talk about it on the Ouija board. And that was the one that's going to be in my book about the planchard flying off of the board. Now, there's two stories, and I haven't finished it because I want to get my niece's permission to use her name in the book.
Gotcha.
Because she passed away before I had a chance to ask her.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I lost my sister in 2020, so.
Oh.
But.
Yep, sorry about that one.
Well,
Well,
then I got to get a hold of her to find out if I can use her in the book. But anyway, that's going to be the other part of that story that I've got halfway written. She goes, she has a seance, and Gary's there, or Larry, whatever fake name I use, and he's like, did I die and come back? And the planchard just flew off the table right in front of all of us.
Oh, my
and
God.
And I'm telling I got up. That was it for me. I won't touch him.
Oh, my. Really?
And after that, some really bad shit. My sister ended up in juvenile and lots of trouble.
Okay.
There's things I can't tell you that she, you know, that she tried to do some terrible things to herself. And and I believe that, I don't know, you know, we all have our different beliefs. We draw our own conclusions. But that, I'll let you draw your own conclusion when I write the book and you can read it.
Okay, yep. My experience with Ouija boards is completely, totally, and completely like the ghost box. Nothing bad.
But I'm wondering about the near-death aspect because when he asked it, everyone else was, you know, was just kind of hovering with it. It was moving around and doing its thing. But he asked the question, did I die and come back? And it shit a brick.
Maybe it didn't want to answer that question. Yep.
I don't know, and it makes you wonder, is that a forbidden thing?
What
do you think
about
when you get to that level and you come back, is that, you're not supposed to remember this or whatever?
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
I wish I could remember mine, because when I was born dead.
Oh, my goodness. I was too, it was brief.
You were too?
And they got me out. Well,
I didn't die.
I was close to it. I came very close to it. My mother's umbilical cord wrapped around my neck.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I went breech, and I've got a 4-step birthmark.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
No, mine was different. My mother she bled out. It was an emergency. She wasn't even supposed to have me. Bled out, and I lost blood, and then the whole thing, and they revived me after I was born. I often wonder, you know what I mean? I have no recollection. I was just born, you know what I mean? But still, that's still a near-death experience because I came back.
Right.
You know, even though I find that really weird to begin with because back then they didn't really have technology to save people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I mean, this is a long time ago. I'm old. We have
Well, they got me. I was born in 68. But they got me. I was turning blue, so I did not die. But I came within a hair of it, according to my mother.
Yep.
They almost lost me.
And
it was a Catholic hospital, so they were going to do whatever they could. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah. It's
and
I know.
So yeah, because you were Catholic, or you are, I guess.
Yep.
I was born.
I was raised Catholic.
I'm whatever right now. Okay.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I got a question for you about near-death experiences.
Yeah.
Before I begin asking some other, or talking about something else that I'd like to talk about. Regarding the subject, you ever heard of something called the Hall of Souls?
Yes, of course.
Tell me what you know about it.
Where you're reborn, where all the souls are kept when you cross over and then you choose to another life.
Is that the same one?
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the one. Do you think that is like we're just like we're recycled? You know, because reincarnation to me, the reincarnation aspect, because see, it's a belief. Now, Edgar Cayce, and now I'll go on ahead and talk about it. Edgar Cayce, shout out to Edgar Cayce, one of the
he was
absolutely way ahead of his time.
Yep.
And Edgar would hypnotize people. And
we'll
a lot of them
past
would
lives.
Right, and they would tell him the stories of who they were in their past lives. And a lot of, you know, reincarnation, we tend to think, well, you know, you're talking about near death.
Right.
Well, is that the process that you cheated that reincarnation stage and that the, that slot?
Wait a minute. Maybe what I believe in my heart is that we choose amount of times that we don't have to come back if we don't want.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking. Like you know, when you kind of like, I'm not going to be cliche, but like when you figure it out and you're like, okay, I'm done here and I don't want to come back, I think you have a, like the place to stay, like with Walter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and the rest of the spirits and God or whatever you believe in, whatever, the rainbow bridge, wherever you're going to go. But then if you decide, you could come back.
Hmm.
So maybe the Hall of the Souls is like a waiting room.
Yeah, if it's, you know, if that's what it is. But what I was kind of
I'm picturing it now. Thanks a lot. And I'm picturing a bunch of
no
spirits
problem.
Sitting in a room, in a waiting room of a hospital.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, no, it's more like Beetlejuice. They got the, what's that, the recently deceased, guide to the recently deceased sitting on the counter.
Oh, my God,
and
you're right.
On the coffee table.
Yep. Oh, my
and
God.
And the guy with the little bitty head and shrunken head or whatever. Sure.
That was funny.
But no. Yeah, that was total. That's brilliant shit. Danny Elfman. And, they've done so much great music in that.
I know.
It was just amazing. Danny Elfman, did you know? I got a little trivia for you. You ever heard of Oingo Boingo?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That was a band in the 80s. They did the theme to Weird Science, you know,
Science.
Did
yep,
you know that was Danny Elfman's band?
Oh, I didn't even realize that. No.
Yes, that was Danny Elfman.
Or I
that was his band. he did all the weird new wave, Weird Science and all that
I
stuff.
I remember
you know?
That.
But,
yeah, but,
I
forgot.
Back
to
what
I was saying. Between the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah, I didn't mean to get off topic, but I had to give a shout out to Danny Elfman.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, man, it's crazy.
No, but
they have.
I'm surprised I didn't have any near-death experiences between.
No doubt.
Oh my God.
But anyway, about the Hall of Souls and all that, and the reincarnation, the slot that's empty or whatever.
Yep.
Edgar Cayce, there was a thought. Okay, here's another one. I'm just going to ask you instead of trying to talk over you, and I'm going to get your input on what you think.
Okay.
They believe that, the people that follow some of Edgar Cayce's teaching or his prophecies, because of course he was like Nostradamus. He had all these prophecies, and some of them actually did come true. One of them was the stock market, but and the president's being shot. But the one that really got me is the one where they follow this idea that we're immortal. The soul's immortal, and that the soul never dies. We just keep being, you know, we keep going into a different
realm.
Existence.
Yeah. Yep.
And what do you think about that?
I think it's possible. I mean, you ever hear, you know, like the dimensional thing? You got they say five dimensions, the fifth dimension. Not the band.
Yeah.
All right, but,
oh,
yeah,
I love them. They're great. Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like when the planes of Earth, if there's other, okay, like where's Walter? We're going to use him as an example. Walter, where are you when I ask him? Right here.
Right.
Okay. I can't see him. So is there an invisible dimension? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no.
Right,
I got to interject. Oh. What if it's this? What if all the realities that ever are throughout time, we're seeing our reality, and all the other realities are what they were seeing at the moment of
exactly.
their death.
Exactly. Right.
I hit a note.
Or they're doing it right now. a different reality
at
the same time. Yeah.
I can't how many times I've asked them where they were, and they say right here.
Yep, I know.
And
too.
You
confirmed
that. That's brilliant. Mm-hmm. I love that. That's great.
You know who, oh, by the way, you know who I saw the other day? When I came out, it was in the kitchen here where I'm staying, and I turned around, and William Howe was standing next to the cat tree, the cat perch.
Badass.
I was like, I just caught him out of the corner of my eye, leaning on the perch, and I was like, hey, William. And I just smiled and walked away. I had been He looks
That's
normal.
Great.
He doesn't look like a ghost. You know what I'm saying? He's a bigger
right.
spirit. He doesn't look, but
yeah.
I just had to bring that up. It was weird. I just, you know what I mean? It was just standing there,
mm-hmm.
leaning on the thing. But see, when I ask him where he is, he says right here, or he's somewhere else, depending on where he is. You get what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Well, you know, like if he's in Perth Elmanville or, you know what I mean, or something, they'll let you know the location. But yet, if they say right here, you don't, oh, the example for your right here. I don't, this was an EVP, and I don't know if I told you about this. Dawn was in the hallway at Selma. Did I tell you about this one? Did I discuss this with you? She was in the hallway at Selma with the other girl.
Yeah, I did.
That's a perfect
did.
Example. But she, mm-hmm. she heard the right here with her own ears. All the recorders picked them up, picked it up,
mm-hmm.
and her hair blew back.
Yeah.
So you see what I mean when it comes to, like things like that? It's like they're right here. That was making it – that was William, too. Making himself known that he was right there. Like, I'm right here. You know, poof, and her hair blew back. Both of them did. And all
well,
the recorders picked it up.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a ghost box. It was a real. It was just a straight-up EVP.
Right.
Yeah.
I had a personal experience with my mother-in-law. As she was in a room, and she was near death.
Okay.
At the
yep.
time. And it ended up being that the next day, the very next day, she passed away.
Oh.
And, but when I was in the room with her that afternoon,
mm-hmm.
I could sense something above me and behind me.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And it was like it was her. But she was reaching for her in the bed, and the one in the bed
oh,
hadn't
wow.
quite connected yet. That is the feeling that I got. I could see them in my mind's eye. And I
can
feel
wonder.
Very,
yeah.
The very active.
Was she in a coma
attempt,
state? Was
she,
in
she,
like a sedated?
Was, yeah, well, no, she was definitely, she wasn't sedated.
She was out, like,
she, on life support. Let's just say that she was active, and that.
Uh-huh.
The energy behind me, I could feel it, and I could see it was her reaching for herself in
That's
my mind's
what
eye.
That's what I meant.
And I felt that
I wonder,
very, very
I
strongly. I wonder if that connection gets broken, and that creates an NDE.
Well, wait, you know what? But she passed away, right? Hear me out on this. Maybe,
well, no, maybe
when you're dying,
yeah. Go ahead.
At, like people that are, like, that's why I asked if she was completely sedated at the time.
Right, right.
Because what if people that are dying?
Oh, she was
dying,
sedated, yes.
Oh, she
yes,
was.
She
okay,
was
so
sedated.
She was out.
But
what if
she
you
wasn't,
leave your body?
She was active, right.
What if you can leave your body like an astral projection out of yourself during that time? We don't know because we wouldn't know when we'd be sedated. And I'm going to start singing a freaking Ramones in about a minute. All right,
oh,
but,
yeah. Or, yeah. Yeah, that's
be
a great
sedated.
Song. You know what I used to sing when I was a younger stoner? I'd sing,
yeah.
I would sing, I'm baked potato. Baked potato like a baked, yeah, okay.
I gotcha. But I know.
Baked potato.
Yeah.
I'm
oh
baked potato.
But, what,
okay,
like, okay,
anyway.
You
shout out to
you,
the Ramones.
That's right. Man. Shout out to Marky Ramone. I ain't seen your ass in many, many years. I got to go see him. I used to hang out with him.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I know.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Yep. So, but the thing is, when you said she passed the next day, when I was with my Aunt Claire and I was holding her when she was dying, and
yeah.
I had her in my arms and I was talking to her. Now, mind you, she was out too, like that, you know, that total sedation.
Right.
But I
okay.
told her, I said, you know, you gotta, you know, it's okay to go. I said, you got, you know, the nanny and you got, you know, Uncle Paul. You know what I mean? And started going on the list of who was going to family that would be there. And she smiled, even though she was half, you get what I mean? Like,
oh,
she,
yeah.
She's, yes. And then I told her, I said, you see that big tall guy? His name's Walter. I just But I whispered it into her ear, and I said, it's safe for you to go. And I'm telling you, I whispered this so that no one else would hear it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And
yeah.
I'm telling you that at that moment, she took her last breath with a smile on her face.
That's
and
beautiful,
left.
Man.
So
that really is.
You're conscious, the person that you are, okay. In your situation, you had somebody that was probably out and left their body. You get what I mean? You know, like
yes.
that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
and was reaching out to go back in and couldn't figure out what was going on. You know what I mean? Like an astral type of thing, reaching back to go, you know, it must be confusing. I had a dream like
yes.
that once. So I have to tell people about that. Yeah, I was scared as shit. I tried jumping back in my body 3 fucking times, okay? It was I thought I was dead. I thought I was dead. Okay.
Oh, wow.
I will share that. Okay, but you know, like so, the next day she probably waited around her body till her body gave up, and then probably left. See what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. There is still a connection because you're still here. The body's still functioning. You know what I mean? You're right on that level. And
oh, well,
you know
I'll tell
what I mean?
You, what I feel when I feel it. I don't. I mean,
yeah.
I'll tell you right now when I feel something, and I know. For myself, that it's that strong. And I was very close to my mother-in-law. She was actually a really cool mother-in-law. I loved her. And,
right.
you know, she was very, she had a very strong will about her. And it's like that imprint of that strong will where there was a struggle with between her and what was going on up above me at the top of the room. You know,
yes.
that really leads credence to this whole, with me it does. With this whole, you looking down and you're seeing, you know, you're seeing yourself on the gurney or in the ambulance
yep.
or in the bed, or there's people,
yep.
doctors walking around, and this person come back and they say, they describe these people, but they were in a coma. Okay. Now,
exactly.
that's when you got to start saying, hey, man, this is the whole Sir Arthur Conan Doyle thing where when you eliminate the impossible explanation, whatever, you know.
I know.
Remains.
Yes.
Is the truth kind of thing. You know, it's
yep.
like you're seeing yourself, you're identifying these people, but then you come back from your NDE and you're like, well, this doctor was wearing this nurse is wearing that, I was like this, like that. And there are people that come back like that, and they're like,
exactly.
people are floored by it. And I wonder if that yep. was her seeing herself that I was feeling behind me. And
I bet you.
And
yeah.
I held her hand, and I knew that it was a great struggle, and I and I told her, you know, that
to go
the battle. Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to
yes,
say
you
it,
did.
But I asked her. I said, "Sweetie,
yep,
you know, you need to let go." And you know, I feel, you know,
yep.
I don't feel bad about that. She was suffering.
Yeah, exactly. Same with my.
I don't feel bad about that at
either.
All.
No, me either. So, you want me? Would you like me to tell you about my near-death experience dream?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. That's what we're here for.
All right.
Does anyone want to call in?
Yep, call in. It's number
call
is,
in.
It's not mine.
Y'all have,
it's 347-202.
Yeah, 347-202.
0316. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
It was all the way. It was in I had to be 2008. Maybe
yeah.
begin, the end of 2007. I was asleep
right.
on the couch.
Uh-huh.
All right, and on Cherry Street here in Norristown. Well, you know, I had a dog named Sydney at that point, right? I'm asleep on the couch because I was laying on the couch sleeping. And I thought I got up off the couch, right? You know, woke up to go get something to drink. So I stood up, and as I got towards the kitchen, I had one, a digital clock on the table by the computer. And I looked at it, and it was spinning.
Wow.
Right? And I'm looking at it, it was spinning. All the numbers were spinning. And I was like, what the fuck? So I looked there, and I look around at the wall clock, and the wall clock was doing the same thing. And then
that's
I took
remarkable.
A left. I looked left, and I was laying on the couch. Okay?
So the wall clock
was
doing the same thing?
Yes. But when I turned left, I saw myself laying on the couch in my sleep position.
Oh,
so
wow.
I went. Oh, shit, because, you know, I'm been paranormal. I'm like, oh, shit. And then I looked in the kitchen, and I saw the figure. I guess it was Walter. I didn't know who it was at that point. You know what I'm saying? Like, put
oh,
his
yeah.
arms out to me. I was like, oh, fuck this. So I made a dive bomb for my body. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh,
and
yeah.
I thought, okay, so I thought I jumped in, right? And I sat up and I went, oh, God, thank God that's over. Oh, let me, I got to go get a drink. And I stood up and I looked at the clock and it was spinning still. And then I looked at the wall. And then I went in the kitchen and the dude was in the kitchen again. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I saw the dog, my dog, Sydney. I saw his paws go up onto the couch to climb up on me, right? And I made a dive bomb right for the couch. And then I opened my eyes and my dog was on my chest. He woke me up.
That's awesome.
Okay, so was that a near-death experience or was that an out-of-body experience?
What do you feel that it was?
I don't know what the fuck it was, but I'm going to tell you what, I'll never forget it, and I swear to God, I ask never to happen again because it freaked me out.
Do you think something got into you? Maybe something got into you?
No, I think I literally got up and left my body and was wandering around my house.
Wow.
That's what I think. Because I got up, like, I was going to the kitchen, do you understand, like, if you were laying there and you felt yourself get up and you get up and you walk, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My body, but when I turned around, I was still laying in the same position on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? And when I saw the dog climb up on me, that's who woke me up. When I jumped for my body and I opened my eyes, the dog was right there in my face. So I saw the dog climbing on me from across the room and made a beeline to my body. Now do you see what I mean?
But that's pretty weird.
Yeah, no shit. Tell me about it. That was like an out of body. If I would have known I could get back into the body, because I literally on the third round I was like, I'm dead. That's it. This is it. This is what happens. You walk around and you know this is what was going through my head. It was spinning. I'm like, oh shit. But the clock thing spinning. What do you think that was?
That's what I was going to ask you because you said the clock was doing this.
Here's
the $64 question. Was it spinning clockwise or counterclockwise?
Clockwise.
Okay, so it was advancing.
I think, wait.
Do you think that was a clue?
Yeah, well, it was spinning
that
down.
Maybe you were, maybe. Okay, gotcha.
All right. Yeah.
I wish I could tell you what I thought, because I'm not sure how to really, I've never had
anything like that. But the clock on the wall was going down like that.
But the clock spinning.
Well, the numbers were spinning. So all the numbers were going fast.
It's like a temporal attachment in some kind
of
way.
I was thinking a dimensional thing where time doesn't exist.
Okay. Well, compass,
like,
they claim that compasses go crazy. You know, in old times, it would claim that it would spin around. Now, of course, we know that's a sign of electromagnetic interference, too. So.
Right. But I was thinking more on a level of I'm in a plate, I'm out of my body, and time doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Right? Like,
maybe,
it, you know,
maybe.
Like it keeps, you know, rolling. You know, the clock was just spinning like, okay, like it's a different plane of existence.
Yeah.
But I felt normal, and I wasn't scared. I just was scared when I saw my body, because then I was like, whoa, am I dead? You know what I mean? That was about it. Then I was freaked out. But I wasn't afraid.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah, until I saw my body. And I was like, oh, no, it's not. Wait, am I dead? But I asked for it never to happen again. And it did not. It did not.
Now, guess what I
prayed.
Did?
And I don't pray.
Well, I imagine you did. I imagine you would. Yeah, after something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I did finally watch. I found Dragonfly.
I know.
And, man, it is such. Kevin Costner won. I ended up finding out there's quite a few movies that have been named Dragonfly. And
yeah, I noticed it too when I was looking.
I don't know how the whole copyright thing goes, but man, there sure are a bunch. And I finally found the one with Kevin Costner, and man, it was, and I was like, man, this is sauce for the goose.
I know.
This is great. I mean, it's such a beautiful movie, and I'm not going to give it away, but it has a lot to do with. It has more to do with a spirit trying to reach someone they love from beyond. It's really more of a from the beyond.
Well, that's what I mean.
But the whole NDE aspect that I was, reason I quoted it was because the woman that the doctor that tries to explain to Kevin Costner about, I'm not going to say the name, but I'm just going to say what was trying to contact him. So I highly recommend watch this movie. It'll blow your mind.
Yes.
2002, by the way, but it's a quality movie. You won't even think about the year. But it's a woman, the doctor in there, that's trying to explain to him about the different levels of consciousness.
Right.
Even though the movie was kind of rolling in a different direction, it really does touch base with a lot of NDE aspects. As far as theory goes, and as far as the myriad of stories that are told about the people that talk about their near-death experiences, I noticed there's quite a bit of variance to these stories. There's no common denominator to it the way these stories come out. They all tend to be pretty different, and some are similar. But everybody has their own. But I am going to throw out the other. I'm going to flip this around, and I'm going to bring something else up.
Okay.
Because it's not fair to not use critical thinking in something like this.
I know that.
Let me be a spoil sport and throw out the critical thinking, scientific theory aspect of NDEs, and I'll get your take on that.
Oh, yeah, I know about the body.
According to what scientists believe, they believe that as the brain dies, it's a natural phenomenon that the brain is sending you, as you're going into shock, it's sending you all these different memories and messages to, I guess, in a weird way, which I think is beautiful regardless. I mean, if that's what's going on, then it's really cool that we're getting a theater, front row theater seat to our life, or something that we would want to be our outcome as we expire. Do you think it's plausible that the people that study the brain that say that this is not paranormal, and that it's actually it's more than likely scientifically explained through a process that the brain releases certain chemicals to make people believe that they are actually, that's what they're going through. But then again, I'm gonna get your answer, and then I'm gonna tell you something else. So go ahead.
I know that scientists actually got it more in depth now, where it goes on after for at least 10 minutes, and so your
technology,
body, there's still signals. There's still signals before they leave your body, but you know what I mean, electromagnetic or electron, whatever they're called. But there's signals that still go on afterwards. Okay, so maybe that's the light flashing before your eyes type of deal.
Maybe.
You know where you're finishing up. You know what I'm saying? Maybe
very
that's
possible.
You know what I mean? Like you're finishing up. You're going. You know what you're going through, right? I mean, it kind of, you know. Right,
but here's,
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, and that's cool, and that could be possible. It could be possible to explain that in some cases. But let me ask you the bigger question, that the reason I refute that. They have got evidence of people saying, with their eyes closed, in a coma, exactly what the hell was going on, and they've had cameras in hospitals, you know, like they'll show them like out in the hallway, and they'll show some of the people have said, well, I saw you in the hallway with me, and you were doing this and doing that.
Yes, I've seen you clear,
and I saw you, and then they'll get up, and they'll say, oh, I know who you are. And they're like,
exactly.
How could you know who I was? We brought you in, you were in a coma. No, I saw you, I know. Okay, well, that throws that shit out the water then.
It does.
Because when you
really
think about
it,
at least, I mean, see, here's the deal. If you can prove it, if you can see it, hear it, taste it, touch it.
Right.
Okay, then that is concrete. I mean, someone comes up, they tell you this shit, blows your mind, and you're like, oh, that's just a coincidence. Bullshit. How the hell did somebody see all that shit?
Yeah, because there's got to be, your eyes are closed, so you ain't looking at them, your eyeballs.
So,
see what I mean?
So maybe,
maybe
that's the trigger. Maybe that the science is explaining the paranormal. Maybe that is a mechanism that triggers that. That euphoria of the shock triggers your NDE, and then somehow, by the grace of God or modern science or whatever you believe, you come back.
Yep, maybe that's it. I mean, but then again, they should start checking the outer parts of you, your magnetic field on the outside of your body when you die instead of just on the inside. They
well,
should check
is it
around
true?
You.
Oh, yes, Robin, I got to ask you this. What's the weight the body loses when the soul leaves the body? Have you ever heard that? About something
yeah.
about
oh, yeah,
the
you
weight
do lose
of
weight.
The body
mm-hmm.
reduces yep. the moment you die? And
yes.
I
yes.
mean,
you lose
oh,
ounces.
I just thought of
mm-hmm.
something. I would have never thought of this in a million years. But I saw this video. And let me tell you, I dug and I dug and I dug. And about an hour and a half later, I finally found what I was looking for. I found this video of a man who was about 100 years old. And his son was filming him, and
mm-hmm.
he was going through his last, you know, and
yep.
he was in hospice with his father, and he was filming it.
Yeah.
And
uh-huh.
This is the most. Let me tell you, I have an experience with orbs. I mean, orbs,
right.
spiritual. I don't call them orbs, okay? I
right.
call them. I do. I mean, we all call them orbs. It's kind of vernacular, but
mm-hmm.
to me, it's more like a spirit light. That leaves the body.
I know. Yep,
and
yep,
it,
yep.
and the ones that I've seen on my captures,
yes.
they it's like they sparkle and they have this glistening to them.
Right.
An orb, a dust and all that bullshit, and there's plenty of that. But when you see
we
something moving really slowly out of the body and it's glistening
mm-hmm.
and it's sparkling, it's got this little sparkle to it. And
right.
then it just intelligently goes in whatever direction it's going to go in. Dude,
oh
that's
God.
Not
yep.
dust. And I don't care how much you're an anti-orbist. In my
yep.
personal experience, private and not private investigations, when you see those and you capture those and they're moving
right.
and they're intelligent and they're sparkling. Do you know what I mean
right.
by sparkling? Like a glistening kind of translucent,
you.
Slow, intelligent kind of move to it? Man.
It looks like it has mass. You know,
that,
like a, yep,
and we
yep.
were talking about NDE, but I had to bring that up, the after
yep.
death aspect
yes.
of how, and I'll try to find that, and I hope I made a notepad with a link to that, a notepad.
Yes,
link,
yes.
Because I really want to see that again, and it I'm telling you, the video's about 7 to 11 minutes long, but man,
right.
it's the most, I'm telling you, it will, I'm telling you, you'll just like, It will floor you.
Right, I know. I can imagine.
It'll blow your mind.
I know. You know, it's kind of when you see things. You know what I mean? Hey,
yeah.
I want to take a quick trip to. Mikey played his first gig with Whiskey Glen and his new band.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mikey.
Yeah.
To Joey Stein and Mike Terrio, who are amazing, and they played with Whiskey Grin with John Tidwell and Dream Cannon from Whiskey Grin, helped them along. And I want to play one of their live songs. You want to do that real quick?
Yeah, sure.
All right. I'm going to put it on. This is called Mike Terrio and Joey Stein with Dream Cannon and John Tidwell. They switched up a lot, but this one in particular is called Alcohol Bleeding. I'm going to play it now, okay? It's only a couple minutes, 2:59.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to play it right now. All right.
Thank you.
What'd you think, cuz?
Oh, that's beautiful, man. That's
yeah,
so
it was
awesome.
Live. It was live at Screwballs and King of Prussia here in PA. And
oh, I know where King of Prussia is.
Yep, and yeah. It was with the band members from Whiskey Grin,
yeah,
Whiskey Grin, and they have a CD
I
out.
I love that.
Them up.
He's got that haunting voice, haunting-ass
yes,
voice.
Yes, that's
like
that,
love it.
I know, but it reminds me of, like, I often wonder, like, with Mikey, I mean, he came built with music.
Yeah.
We're getting on the same, it goes right back to the same subject.
What, oh, yeah, that's what all about, scanning the
yeah.
frequencies, yeah. We're,
right.
For me, it's a frequency, yeah.
Yeah, so he came, like, he was built
on
with
a frequency.
It. Like, he came in with
I
it.
I mean,
like,
right.
Okay, when before, like, he was even born, like, I mean, you know, I'd put music on, like, you know, and he'd be
mm-hmm.
kicking away. And it's just
yeah.
in my belly, but I've known since he was, like, 4 years old. So he came in like he didn't have to learn instruments. He just automatically picked them up. So was he something? You get what I mean? When you talk about the Hall of Souls, the past life, you get what I mean?
Uh-huh.
There is, he came built with it in him.
Well, I accidentally said music
yeah.
is a frequency, and I guess if
yes.
you want to look at it that way. But music is, it's like, it's a vibration. You know, it's like
yes.
a, it's a sound. It's a resonance. It has its own, you know, I believe music has its own, you know, it has its own certain, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for, Lisa?
Well,
what,
I could tell you what, it has its own soul. It can reach people. It's universal. It can reach
yeah,
anybody. No matter how much, you know, people go against each other or whatever, music brings people together.
Music brings people together.
Yes, it
yes,
does.
It
does.
Yes,
mm-hmm. it
has
it
its own,
mm-hmm.
whatever.
It hits, it goes, like when I'm at a concert or something, let's say I'm going to see my Seether, shout out, Seether, love Seether.
Seether, we got family that plays in Seether.
Yes,
so
yes,
yeah.
yep. And but if I'm going to see them, then I'm standing there, and the music, I don't just hear it, I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. It goes in, you know what I mean? It's more like a feeling than a audio in your ear.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Okay,
like
well, here's what it means. Like, you know, they actually have EVPs of music. And it happens quite a bit where
you're right.
You're doing,
right.
you're ghost
mm-hmm.
boxing, and you can hear tunes. And
yep.
one of them, I remember, in Virginia City, there was, I think it was the Washoe Club. Shout out to Virginia City and the Washoe Club.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they had caught EVPs of piano music.
Shit,
that would have
that
been, yeah.
EVP,
oh, really?
Regular,
I didn't know that.
Wait. That was before we got the piano donated to the house. Yes,
oh,
we were on our
cool.
first initial investigation at Selma Mansion. Shout out to Selma. If you want to investigate Selma, contact me. I'll put you in charge of the people that are running the, you know, the investigations. But anyway, we were investigating the first time, and there was no piano. But
right.
it when I couldn't understand when I listened back for the EVP, straight EVPs, no box, nothing. I heard piano notes, ding, 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 you know, like piano notes. Turns out that Mrs. Fornax, who was the last of residents at Selma Mansion, was an avid piano player. There was a piano in that house. So we got one donated back into the Selma Mansion. But yes, she was an avid piano player. So we heard those notes with no piano.
Do you think that's part of the stone tape thing where maybe it's a residual that...
You know what? She was a good piano player, so I don't know. You know what I mean? Did I lose you? If I lost you, cousin, then you could just call back on the other number. I think I lost my cousin again. He'll be calling back. Well, I'll continue the story. So we were doing EVPs, and and we heard between that and the buzzer, I don't know what happened to my cousin, but Fabian, call back. Hello? But anyway, oh, here he is. All right, hang on.
Do you think it's maybe a residual aspect of maybe something like the stone tape? Where, I mean, I've kind of fallen away from it, but there's a belief.
I would think that if it was actual piano
in the
playing
environment, you know what I'm saying?
This
that
is
maybe
notes.
It's a residual. Oh, okay.
Like,
maybe it's
like
a
she was a real good pianist.
Capture.
Okay, she was a real
okay.
good pianist. This was more like notes, hitting notes. Like, you know what I mean? So I'm not sure if it was a residual or she was like making herself known by those piano notes.
Oh, here it goes.
You know
back
what
to
I
what
mean,
we
right?
Were talking
yeah.
about, though. Yeah, but here it goes back to this, where we were I was asking about, you know, each reality is their own reality during that time that they live.
Right.
And we're just picking up what was going on in the past, and we're picking up
that could be
a moment from that division between the realities or the dimensions or whatever.
We could be picking up that, but then Mrs. Fournette talks to us, though. You know, she would say, it's Ruth.
One thing I've
learned.
Yeah.
It's Ruth. Well, you know what I mean? So afterwards, she knew who we were. So that reality mixed with maybe that residual reality was meant to be hers. You see what I'm saying? Because how did we connected her to the piano notes. You understand? Like, so maybe that case, we didn't know about the piano. We didn't know she was a pianist. We didn't know yet. So when we got the notes, that's when the story came up. You understand? Like, and that's how we found out, and that's why we got another piano donated in Selma. You know what
Let
I mean?
Let me throw
so
this
could,
at you.
Know.
Yeah. Let me throw this at you.
Mm-hmm.
What if, and there's a movie out there that had Maggie Smith in it. It was filmed at Ethel Hampton House or Manor in England. And it's Somewhere in Time or something like that. It's not the Christopher Reeve name. It's not that title. But it's a something
right,
about
right, right.
time, and it's where the people that were seeing each other, it was based on that whole, we're in a different dimension than they are as time passes.
Yes.
And that when they're claiming to see us, and we're claiming to see them, and to them, we're spirits. And
oh, like
us,
the movie The Others. Like the movie The Others.
Right. And
the movie The
right,
Others,
just,
like
just,
that one.
We're looking
yeah.
through dimensions. We're looking at them through our
exactly.
We're thinking that, but they're actually in their dimension, and to us, they're, you know, we're thinking
yep.
that they're hauntings, when they're actually just coexisting in the same space
exactly.
at a different time.
Yep.
So
yep.
maybe that's what you're hearing. Maybe it's that kind of thing. And by the way, there have been some stories.
I don't
read
know.
About it years ago.
The spirits that I come in contact with at Selma Mansion are very intelligent,
uh-huh.
so I don't know.
Okay.
You know what I mean? They
oh,
can intelligently hold a conversation. But some of them, maybe not. Maybe it's just residual. Maybe it's just hearing. Here's an example. At Fort Mifflin, me and Dawn were running the box in Casemate 5. And we had the box down. And I got this on YouTube. And we're sitting there.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we hear musket fire coming out of the box. Musket and cannon fire. And it sounded like a war. Now, that was definitely a residual from Fort Mifflin because of the battle there. But we were hearing it come out of the box. I didn't know. We're like,
great.
Holy shit. We're like, oh, my God. This is gunfire. It's musket fire because you can tell a musket. It's coming out the box. And it's up on YouTube. I still, for the life of me, you know what I mean? I was like, I knew that was residual because there's no real battle, you know, at that moment. But it happened in the past. And it was so intense that it left that energy behind. You get what I mean?
Yes.
And we were hearing that energy of that past, I was going to say reenactment. No, that don't work. The past or actual war. You know what I mean?
Well,
and
to them,
it's crazy.
They don't feel anything or they don't see anything. But, you know, it's like, I don't know. You know, one other thing I've learned, cousin, is this. There's nothing too crazy. In the realm of the paranormal. The paranormal, there's just so many possibilities because we don't know.
No, we don't know. But when I run the box, like I was going over old audio, like prior to all this bad shit that happened to me, you know what I mean, in life?
Yeah.
And if I went back over the audio that I had gotten from 2014-15, if I would have understood what they were saying then, I wouldn't have been gone through the shit now. Because it was back then they were telling me what's coming. Do you see what I mean? So that maybe their time's off. Maybe.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know.
Maybe that's a different. Maybe that's a different time of connection.
Walter's my spirit guide. He just he definitely is on point with what he says because he's not like a residual or anything. All right, we know that.
Right. I know that.
Right. Well, you know that. He comes to visit you. He shows up at people.
I know. Yeah, he sure does. Hey, look, man.
I know.
I'm cool with it. I know. I'm strange.
And,
I love being
protector.
Strange. That's just who I am. Love me or hate
me. I know,
me
too.
That's what I is, man.
But I know he's a good guy. Get my point? And I always say that.
Yeah,
nothing, definitely. Nothing negative will come near me around
and Walter
him. And
is
that
really,
is a fact.
He's such
yep.
a... such a beautiful presence to have. You know, spirit guide. I'm glad you brought up spirit guide because we're running out of time. I actually wanted to say that we all have a spirit guide that's there at that point. What can you tell me really quick how you feel the spirit guide has what it has to do with the NDE? How do you read it?
Oh, I would imagine like if I was to die, all right, that my first people I would see was William Walter, and they'd take me to wherever I got to go. You get my point?
Mm-hmm.
So if you know, you know, I mean, maybe some people don't know who their spirit guides are. You know what I mean?
No doubt about that.
But they're going to be there. But they're going to see their angel. They're going to see whatever, you know what I mean? Whatever, you know, they envision, you know what I mean? Like that. Mine just came in, like, real visions. I see them since I was a kid, so I kind of know, you know? But I think so. I think that they will be there to guide you and tell you it's not time. It's time to go back if it's a near-death experience. I think they're the ones you hear. You
and
know
I
what
truly
I mean? Because if you haven't
that,
crossed
yes,
over,
that,
yeah, if you're not all the way crossed over, you know what I'm saying? How are, you know, if you're not on the other side or across the rainbow bridge or whatever, that's where I'm going. All right. You cross,
I don't think there's a hill of beans difference between what some believe is an angel and what some believe is a spirit guide. But everyone can draw their own conclusion. I believe there's the same thing, but we all interpret
angels.
It different. Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah, I
wasn't
would
sure how
all
you
angels.
Felt
I
about
mean,
that.
Yeah, I would be like, but I mean, you know, Walter could be a comedian, but anyway, that's a long story short. We'll leave that for another show. He's a comedian, but no, he's funny.
Yeah,
he can
we
be
sure
funny
could.
Sometimes, but he could be serious sometimes, and he could be warning, you know, and protective, but he can also be hysterically funny by telling me not to step in dog shit. Don't ask. It was funny. Okay.
Oh, yeah, right
I went
now
to take
is the
a
time.
Step. Yeah.
Right now is the time for all the hidden dog shit when all the leaves are on the ground. It's
you
there,
got it.
Trust me. And you will find it.
Yep. I was in my house, and I was running the box, right? And I'm walking across the floor, and I didn't know Zeus, you know, Zeus, my white buffalo passed away. He drug poop in on his paw.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so it was on the floor.
Yeah.
But I was walking across the floor with a dog dish,
no.
so I couldn't see the poop. And he goes, Lisa.
No.
I said, what? And he goes, don't step in
didn't.
It. I said, step in what? And I looked down, and there's poop. And then they were laughing on the box. That's not funny, okay? They were...
You know, that means,
hey, I'll
tell
bus.
You what,
like,
that's
okay.
That is something to look forward to, because if that's the case in the afterlife, it's more like Beetlejuice.
I know.
We get to have a little fun with it. That's,
I have
that's
no
a
doubt
plus
in
my book.
Yes. Yeah, like don't
that's
step
a plus
in it,
book.
Or you know what I mean, or, you know, or you know, little, because you know what, we all need that, and the spirits are no different than we are, so... They like a little happiness. You know what I mean? They like
a little
music.
Well, like I tell
they
people,
like
spirits are people, too. They're just no longer with
that's
us
right.
on this side. I
right.
mean, they
somewhere
are,
else.
But not
yeah.
physically. We got to kind of, we got to,
right.
we got to get, the, we got to turn the box on, and we got to, you know, we got to talk to them, you know, and ask them things. And,
yeah.
You know, but
and
they're
so
with
just,
us. They're
know,
just not, they're no longer with us in physical form.
In the honor of my bestest friend, Frank Sumption. The best thing he ever told me was people need to not look for their, like when they're on investigations and they get stuff, don't start fishing for what you want to hear. Just listen. Listen
you will
to
hear
what
it.
They have to say. Yep. Listen,
yeah.
but listen though. Listen because you might not be getting, you're looking for Joe and Sam and you might be getting told something about yourself. You get what I mean?
Hey,
but
I got to
listen.
I tell you what I'd love to talk about next time. If you,
okay.
Let's go into the whole, what you were just talking about listening, you know, when you're ghost boxing.
Yes. Yeah, let's do the ghost box
aspect.
Episode.
We'll talk about ghost boxing and
we
also
might be having a,
about...
Wait, we might be having a special guest next week. I have to set it up. I'll be posting about it soon.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We have
that.
To be... Yeah,
well, we'll
I'm just
we'll
going
to
get that concreted.
But...
Yes, I know, and I'm very
you
excited if he
that?
Comes on. Yay! Yep, I want to
plug
yet until I finalize it, but... I don't want to plug it, but it's probably going to be John Perkey, and he's awesome, and he's from Tacoma, Washington, and he's a musician, and he wants to talk about the paranormal and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Right.
But I'll get that once I get it in concrete with him that he's going to be on the 28th, okay? So it's going to be good. All right. It's going to be good.
Well, then let
and
me
then
throw
we'll do,
out the part about – oh, go ahead, then. We'll do what? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Good. No, good.
Well, I was just going to say real quick that a great talking session about, talking about something that would be really good, I think, is explaining how we hear what we want to hear.
Oh,
and
yeah.
A lot of
sometimes
times that's
you
not,
can't
that's
do
not
mm-hmm.
spirit. That's just we're really wanting to hear it so bad that we have to learn how
yeah.
to, you know, and we could talk about that in the future.
Yeah,
I think
we
it
will.
Would be really great.
We will. All right, but our time
made
is
that
up
mistake.
Now. Our time
okay.
is up
Happy
now.
Thanksgiving,
start yelling at us.
Everybody.
Then, yes, have a great turkey day.
Sorry,
have a happy
yeah,
turkey day, cuz. Happy turkey
people,
day, everybody. All right, and I will see you next Monday, okay?
Thank
Nobody
y'all so
called
much
in,
for
so
you
better call in next week. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Live Paranormal. Good night.
Yes, yes, good night. Song by Mikey Terrio to end our night, if I can get it to work. Doesn't want to work. No, it doesn't want to work. Wait, there it was. It's coming. We're going to end this with Fairy Tale, if I can get it to work. No, it don't want to work. Let me try again. Ah, there we go. Good night, everybody.